Hello and welcome to this week's Daily Info Oxcast, your weekly roundup of all the best events in Oxford. This week I'm basically just talking about festivals. There's loads of them going on.
The season is starting, I think. We're going to have just festivals from now until the end of summer.
That's right.
I'm going to be talking about Arthur Miller and Moldovan footballers.
Meanwhile, I've got something slightly different. I've got some dance, dragons and double acts.
But to start off, we always start with our Oxford fact, and this week it comes actually from the Oxford Castle Unlocked Facebook page. I saw this on. And they said for one of their Friday facts that William Hyde, who is who was a criminal from Oxfordshire in the 18th century, not sure if he is the same person as the famous scientist as well. I think they might be different people, unless he kind of took a turn for the worse. But anyway, William Hyde was caught burgling a house in Old Cutslow, and that's how he met his end and was eventually executed at the Oxford Castle on March 22nd, which is also this Sunday, so timely. But that was in 1779. But when he was caught, he was actually found cooking eggs, bacon and pancakes for his accomplice in the house. So maybe not the brightest mind. Anyway, so that comes from the Oxford Castle Unlocked, their Facebook page. If you want to send in an Oxford fact that you know about that's a little bit weird and unusual, then you can tweet it to us or send it to us on Facebook and we can read it out next week. But to start off the events, we'll start with some theatre. What have you got for us, Ola?
At the Oxford Playhouse this week, All My Sons, Arthur Miller's 1947 play, is going to be playing until Saturday. It's based on a true story of defected plane parts supplied to the Air Force by a small business owner in America. And so Joe Keller is an Ohio manufacturer who's built up his business for his two sons, one of whom is currently missing in action, presumed dead by everyone apart from his mother. And the other is planning to propose to his brother's former sweetheart, Annie. Annie is also the daughter of Joe's former employee, who is currently serving time for covering up the defected plane parts that resulted in the death of 21 members of the American Air Force. And through the course of the play, different things come to light and there are revelations made and sort of personal revelations and sort of about everyone else involved in it as well. It plays deeply on the themes of survivor's guilt and integrity, and it kind of is Miller trying to expose the nightmare of the American dream, I think. I actually went along last night. It was a really brilliant production. It's produced by Talawa, who are a black-led British touring theatre company, and the cast were universally excellent. Ray Shell as the father, Joe Keller, and Kemi Bo Jacobs as Anne, I think, were particularly good, but really, like, there was no weak link at all. The set was beautiful as well. There's pictures of it next to our review on the website on Daily Info if you want to have a look at that. But I would definitely recommend you all go along. It's running until Saturday at the Playhouse. Tickets are between £11 and £26.50. There are opt-in tickets for tonight's performance if you're under 26. And there's also a post-show talk tonight as well if you're interested in hearing some of the actors' thoughts. So yeah, go along.
Now, the first one of my festival mentions this week is a mention for Audiograph, which we talked about last week in the podcast. And we also had an interview with Paul Whitty, who's one of the co-curators of the festival. You can listen to that, the full interview with Paul Whitty, on the Oxcast Extra. So you can hear him talking more broadly about the festival, which might be a good idea because a lot of the concerts have now finished, but it's a lot of the exhibitions that are still running. So exhibitions that are still going, there's one at Avada, which is displaying work from several people. They've got kind of bells up and like helium balloons and all sorts of mad stuff going on there. And it's free, so you can still go along and see that until Sunday. There's also Sam Cadell displaying work at the O3 Gallery. That opens tomorrow and runs again until Sunday. He makes electronic music and is originally from Bristol, but he's studying for an MA in composition at the Sonic Art Research Unit, which is the part of Brooks University that Paul Whitty helped found and that are sort of sponsoring the festival. And so his installation is going to be set up specifically for the O3 Gallery. It's a replica prisoner visit telephone booth, I guess, which is like transmitting audio and sounds and things there. Yeah, so it's obviously designed for the kind of the castle area. So, yes, have a look on the Audiograph website for things that are still running until the close of the festival on Sunday, and have a listen to our interview with Paul Whitty on the Oxcast Extra.
More theatre for you now. This Thursday and Friday, the theatre maker Chris Thorpe will be returning to the North Wall with his latest show, Confirmation. So as with most of Chris Thorpe's shows, there's a weighty issue behind the sort of dialogue. And in this particular monologue, which was commissioned by Northern Stage and the recently incinerated Battersea Arts Centre, extremism is the topic. So this show is really exploring confirmation bias, the sort of selective absorption of information to affirm your worldview. And as preparation for the show, Chris Thorpe interviewed white supremacists, neo-Nazis and other unsavoury individuals. So some of the reviews have actually described him as the sort of Louis Theroux, you know, meeting these individuals so you don't necessarily have to. I haven't seen this production, but his 2013 Fringe offering, There Has Possibly Been an Incident, was absolutely incredible. So this one should probably be worth a watch. So to recap, the show's on at 8 p.m. at the North Wall this Thursday and Friday. Tickets are £13 or £11 for concessions, and there are special £5 student tickets available.
Now, as I'm sure most people will know, there is an eclipse on Friday morning, which is very exciting. So I've got some details about it if people want to try and watch, and hopefully the weather will be good for it. But it starts at about 8:25 in the morning, and by 9:30 it's going to reach its maximum blackout of about 85% from Oxford, the most we've had since the 1999 full eclipse, which some people will still remember. Now, public service announcement, remember not to look directly at the sun. It's really easy to damage your eyes, either by getting corneal sunburn, which is apparently incredibly painful and can blind you for 48 hours, or by damaging your retinas and then losing your entire central vision with macular degeneration. Don't do that. Also, sunglasses don't count either. By just putting on sunglasses and staring at the sun, you'll still hurt yourself. You can get the special eclipse glasses, which will reduce the UV rays by 100,000 times, and then you can look directly at the sun. Or you can just make your own pinhole camera with a couple of pieces of card. Or I saw a really cool suggestion of using a colander and a piece of card, and then you get loads of the little projections of the eclipse on the card as well, so that'd be cool. There are a couple of events that are happening around this. The Astrophysics Society of Oxford Uni are going to be outside the Said Business School on Friday morning, and they're going to have some telescope setups with filters on, so you can actually look through the telescopes and see the eclipse. And the Abingdon Astronomical Society are going to be in Abbey Meadows handing out some of the eclipse glasses, which are really hard to get hold of at the moment. They're sold out everywhere. They're about £20 on Amazon, and they don't even guarantee they'll be here by Friday. But pinhole cameras are really cool and fun to make anyway.
And if anyone gets some good pictures of it, don't go out of your way and damage yourself too. But if anyone does get any, send them our way. We'd love to see them. Mm-hmm. That'd be great. So starting the weekend now, on Saturday at Ruskin College up in Headington, the Malcolm X Film Festival is starting its first year running this festival. So it's quite exciting. It's at 1 till 9 on Saturday, and there's going to be three panels throughout the day and then some food afterwards. But I think you can just pop in and out and not have to sit through all of the panels if you don't want to. Malcolm X was, as many people know, an American Muslim minister and a human rights activist, particularly around black rights. And then there was a lot of popularity gained from the Spike, the award-winning film of the same name. This festival is being put on by the MXM, which is the Malcolm X Movement, who formally launched in August of this year, but they've actually already been doing a couple of things. They had a conference last June, so they're kind of gearing up to their big launch in August. This festival is, as I said, in Oxford on Saturday, but is also running around the country, so it is going to be really big. The three panels for the day. The first is about police brutality. The second panel is called Global Unity and Internationalism. So people will be talking about race issues sort of all around the world, not just in this country. They'll be talking about the apartheid in Zimbabwe and the NATO aggression in Libya, amongst other things. And then the third is going to be about continuing Malcolm's legacy and some people that are working on similar projects at the moment. So they've got Swiss from So Solid Crew, Sarah Myers, who led the campaign against the Exhibit B exhibition, and other people confirmed for that as well. So that's the Malcolm X Festival at Ruskin College on Saturday, 1 till 9 p.m.
Also on this Saturday, the company Experiential and choreographer Rachel Johnson are bringing a new dance film production entitled Bridging the Void to the Old Fire Station. The show is part of a 7-venue national tour, first presented in Dance Springs and the Brighton Fringe last year. And while it is a dance show, it's also a show that relies really heavily on film and experimentation. So according to the press release, the audience isn't seated, but instead sort of wander through the dance that's happening. So sort of promenade dance, the production. And if you think you might be interested, at 1 p.m. there's also a tie-in workshop where you'll get the chance to work with the choreographer and the company from the show.
Oh, do some dance yourself.
Exactly. Fun. So that's this Saturday, 7:30 p.m. for the performance, 1 p.m. for the workshop. £10 for a ticket just for the performance, or you can get a combined ticket for £15 to both.
If you want to find out any more about these events, have a look at our What's On section on our website, dailyinfo.co.uk.
We also have job listings that are updated every day. If you're looking for work, or if you need a place to live, or if you're trying to find a pet, we have loads of ads for lots of different things. Have a look on the website.
And we often post our favourite ads up on our Twitter account, at Daily Info Oxford.
And on our Facebook. And you can find that by searching Daily Info Oxford as well.
This weekend marks the beginning of the Oxford Literary Festival for this year, one of the big three literary festivals, I think. Like Oxford, Cheltenham and Hay are normally the three ones that anyone releasing any book this year will be at. We've each picked an event each that we think sounds pretty interesting, but there are literally hundreds of speakers, so do have a look at the full programme. But the one that I've picked is titled Bitcoin, the Future of Money, and it's by Dominic Frisby. It's going to be on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Oxford Martin School on Broad Street, and he's going to be talking about Bitcoin, so the cryptocurrency, alt currency, digital currency, however you want to describe it, that was in the news a lot a couple of years ago. It's all kind of died down for a little bit and it's been consolidating, but he's going to be putting forward the idea, the quite popular idea actually, that Bitcoin is going to do for finance and banking what the internet did for publishing and what email did for the postal service. It's absolutely huge. And it's actually growing all the time. I was just having a look at some of the retailers that are accepting Bitcoin now. And Dell Computers started accepting Bitcoin payments through Coinbase in July last year. Overstock online retailers started accepting Bitcoin worldwide in September. Microsoft started in December, and Japan's largest online retailer, Rakuten, who bought Play.com a few years ago, you might know them, they have just started accepting Bitcoin on their American site, and they'll be rolling out the function worldwide this year. But Dominic Frisby is going to be talking about all of these things. He writes for Money Week, and he's definitely a Bitcoin fan. I wonder if he's going to be spending some Bitcoin in Jim Bob's Baguettes on Magdalen Street, who accept Bitcoin and Litecoin and Dogecoin, I think, if anyone has any of their own. So I think it's going to be a really interesting talk. It's on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock.
I found two interesting events for Saturday afternoon, and I know we said we'd choose one, but these are sort of related. So at 12 p.m. in the Sheldonian, there's a family-friendly talk where you can hear Cressida Cowell, who is the author of the How to Train Your Dragon series, talking about what it was like to grow up on an island where she thought there were actually dragons, and also what it's like to see a children's book being adapted into an enormous sort of film and television franchise. Obviously, the two films on How to Train Your Dragon were released worldwide over the last couple of years, but there's also now a series on CBBC every day after school around 3:30. Quite excitingly, Hachette are also providing a special free gift to all children in attendance.
Do you know what it is?
Suspect it might be a book. meanwhile, across the road from the Sheldonian at the Oxford Martin School, at 2 p.m, Professor Christopher French will be discussing his new book, Anomalistic Psychology, Exploring Paranormal Belief and Experience. So, for example, why people believe in dragons. So those are two talks at 12 p.m. in the Sheldonian and 2 p.m. at the Oxford Martin School, both on Saturday.
Well, my event actually is also to do with psychology, because it's a talk including Charles Spence, who is the professor of experimental psychology at Somerville College, and he's going to be talking with Fred Plotkin about how music or different sounds can influence your taste, and sort of generally how different senses can interact and sort of change your experience. I actually interviewed him, so have a listen to this clip from Charles Spence talking about these concepts here. So I'm here with Professor Charles Spence, who is a Professor of Experimental Psychology at Somerville College in Oxford. And he will be doing a talk as part of the Oxford Literary Festival. And that is with Fred Plotkin, who is an opera expert and author of a couple of cookery books as well. And this talk is called Music in the Mouth, How Music Affects the Way Things Taste, which sounds very interesting, but also slightly unusual. But this is the kind of research you're doing, right? It's about senses and how they combined, how they affect the way we do things, I guess.
That's right. So at the Crossmodal Research Lab in the psychology department, have a team of people looking at the senses and how they interact. So how what you smell might change what you see, and what you hear might change what you feel. But more and more we're looking at the world of taste and flavour and all the kinds of things that affect our experience of the food on the plate and the drink in the glass. And probably over the last 5 years, we've kind of... where we are now isn't a strange place, but it kind of makes sense if you go from the beginning, right, which was about a decade ago, we were looking at the sound of crunchy crisps. And showing how you could make things sound, taste crunchier and fresher by changing the sound of the crunch as people bit into them. And from there, we've been looking at the sounds of a wrinkling crisp packet. The noisier the packet, the crispier the crisps. And from there, it's gone out to kind of things like the sound of the seafood dish served at the Fat Duck these days, which again kind of sort of makes sense if you're eating seafood, then maybe kind of congruent sounds work. And ultimately, we've ended up at the world of kind of music and taste. If I give you something to taste, a wine or some other drink, will you tend to pick the same sorts of musical notes as the next person who comes in and the other 20? And will you pick the same kinds of instruments that correspond or go together with certain tastes?
So during the talk, are you going to be, or are people in the audience going to be tasting foods as well? And, or is it sort of, you have to take your word for it?
Well, these are things you can try at home, certainly. And there are sounds that one can download from the web now. So we've got sounds of bitter, sweet, salty and sour.
Oh, really?
Sounds like kind of music that will... well, between music and soundscapes, that will make add 5 or 10% sweetness to your dessert.
To something that you're already eating.
Sweet and bitter are kind of the easiest musically to match. Sour is pretty easy as well, but salty is very hard, and we're sort of working with umami, this kind of, you know, proteinaceous taste, to see whether we can find music for that too. And some of these sounds, I hope we'll be playing them during the session. Whether people get to taste anything there depends on health and safety and such like, but I would certainly try and do it if I could. But these sounds are available online, some of them, and some of the music is also kind of currently listenable to at the Science Museum in London. For the next year, there's kind of a food exhibition, and some of the experiments, kind of citizen science thing that people can take part in, involve listening to some sounds and deciding what taste they are. And I mean, who knows how the session will go, because I haven't met Fred before. We've been in email contact, and I've seen all the books. I think it's about 6 or 7 books altogether, and certainly kind of the opera and food will make a sort of interesting match.
Yeah.
Him coming from more the musical and the food end, and myself coming more from the sort of psychological
end. But presumably end. He's on board with your kind of...
Let's hope so.
You can listen to the full interview where Charles gives more examples of music and sound and how that changes tastes. He is really quite convincing, I think. I came around to the idea in the end. You can also find out what a sonic wine bar might be and how, like, airlines are starting to use this and things like that. So it's really interesting. You listen to the full interview in our Oxcast Extra and get along to his talk with Fred Plotkin at Corpus Christi next Wednesday.
We're also going to have another interview with a literary festival speaker on next week's Oxcast as well.
Yes, we've got. We'll be talking to Venora Bennett, who's a journalist and author, before her talk, which is going to be after our next week's Oxcast. So we're sort of continuing the literary festival theme for the 2 weeks that it's running.
And from literature to poetry, this Saturday at 7 p.m, the Museum of Oxford will be host to an evening of poetry and comedy. Two acts will be taking to the stage, Paul Lyles, who is the current poet in residence at the Museum of Oxford and used to be the poet in residence at the Roald Dahl Museum. And he's joined by A.F. Harold, the poet, performer and children's author. The show starts at 7 p.m. and the recommended age bracket is given as between 5 and 105, so I think you can assume it's going to be family friendly. Tickets cost £5 or £3 for concessions, so there's really no excuse not to maybe give it a try. And I think it's quite interesting at the moment. There's quite a trend to combine poetry and comedy. So you're getting nights like Stand Up and Slam in London, or I suppose George's Jamboree down at the Jam Factory, which happens, I think, the first Monday of every month.
Well, Tony Hawks is a storyteller and comedian. So again, combining different talents. And he's going to be in Oxford this weekend. He's got a couple of events on. People will know him from loads of TV and radio panel shows, like Have I Got News For You? And I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue. But he's going to be in Oxford for the Literary Festival on Saturday, where he's going to be talking about his book Once Upon a Time in the West Country, which is about him moving from London to Devon and sort of having trouble with tractors and hilarity ensuing. That's on a Saturday at the Sheldonian at 6 o'clock and it costs £12. But he's also going to be at the Glee Club on Sunday night, and it's going to be an evening with Tony Hawk, so it's not the normal Glee Club sort of four stand-ups and an MC night, but it's just him for 2 hours with storytelling and stand-up and music, and that's going to be at £12.50. And people might know some of his previous books about where he's done really random challenges or journeys. So he went around Ireland with a fridge, and he also challenged the Moldovan football team to beat him individually at tennis for one of his books. But yeah, he should be a really good fun and a great speaker. So you got two chances to catch him this weekend.
So our last event is on next Tuesday, and it's a play. It's called Outings at the Oxford Playhouse. It's on at 7:30 on Tuesday night. It was a show written by Matthew Baldwin and Thomas Hescott, who have worked together on projects before. I think they're quite good friends, really. And it's directed by David Grindley. It's a sort of, from what I understand, it's a bit vagina monologues-y, but with four performers and then a guest star instead of one person reading out the stories. But it's essentially, it tells 20 true coming out stories from gay, bi and trans people. And I think there's the chance of every performance being different. So anytime you see this, it might be slightly different because people, now that this has become quite a big show, people are sending in stories all the time. So they're kind of always changing it, which is nice. So you never really know what you're going to see. As well as that, there's always a guest star. So again, you don't know who you might be seeing on the night. And I think the reason that they've, well, maybe not the reason that they've done this, but they were inspired to write this show by the coming out of some quite high-profile people, so people like Tom Daley and Ellen Page. And so potentially the guest star is kind of a nod to that. They've got one, always got one sort of quite high-profile person that comes on and joins the actors. It ran in Edinburgh last year and did very well there, and was also nominated for the Amnesty International Freedom of Expression Award. So it looks like it's going to be a really good evening, really interesting, quite funny at times, quite harrowing in others. That's on Tuesday at 7:30 at the Oxford Playhouse. It might also be worth a mention now that Oxford Pride has confirmed their dates for later on in the year. The festival is going to be running from the 29th of May to the 7th of June in Oxford this year, and their big day will be the 6th of June, the Saturday, where there'll be all sorts of acts going on and food and the parade and things down by the Oxford Castle.
For details of any of these events and many more, do go to dailyinfo.co.uk, where you'll find full and comprehensive listings.
You can also find reviews of events that have already happened.
And also follow us on social media, send us your Oxford fact and your solar eclipse picture if you've got one. We're on Twitter at Daily Info Oxford, or you can search us on Facebook at Daily Info Oxford.